I'll just remind you once again that you're listening to KUCI in Irvine, and hit a little theme music. Darkling Eclectica presents a collection of broadcast fiction brought to you by the Darkling Eclectica. Reputation by Michael H. Payne, Part 4. A buzz, a hum, a breath of air, but oh, the peace encompassed there, the spark of warmth that kindles in my breast. Like rat, alone in darkness drowned, I'm rescued by that simplest sound, and welcomed in at last, at home, to rest. From Home, by the Vulpine poetess Zell Passandri, first published in her collection Whispers and Shouts, Kyoto University Library, 1734. Slipping through the curtain of moss, Rat settled into the dirt under the sycamore's crooked root and concentrated on stilling his breath. He'd left Kylie counting to 100 back at the big old oak tree where Grandpa always started their tracking lessons, had headed west, then doubled back partway and jumped up into a willow, scrambled from branch to branch so he could move south without leaving a trail for her to follow. Just in case, though, he'd splashed through a little stream to muddy his scent, had crept over the forest floor on his claw tips, that way he wouldn't disturb the leaves, before he'd spotted the little moss-covered nook under the sycamore. He grinned to himself. She'd never find him in a tap at his shoulder, Kylie's sudden scent at his whiskers. Tag, you're it. Rat jumped up, banged his head against the root, and spun to see Kylie grinning in through the moss. How did you find me? He finally got out. She shrugged. Everybody smells different, but nobody smells like you. She flicked a claw at her whiskers. And you're really ripe today. Hey! Rat's ears went hot. In the year since his adoption, he'd taken to sneaking into Grandpa's bathroom and dabbing some of the old mouse's cologne into his fur. But even that didn't help the thick rat stink that clung to him, that washed over his nose even now from... Hey, he said more softly then, lifting his snout and sniffing. That's not me. Kylie gave a couple blinks, closed her eyes, and spread her whiskers. Yeah, she whispered, squeezing past him to the moss on the other side of the nook. But it smells like you over there. It made him shiver, the first time outside his oldest memories that he'd caught wind of that scent from somewhere other than his own fur, and so strong it could only be... Come on! He scooted up beside her and pushed the moss aside. Let's go see! He didn't wait for her, just climbed out from under the sycamore root and started through the forest's summer afternoon shadows. He would have smelled it earlier, he told himself, except he'd been too busy trying to hide from Kylie.
I don't know, Ratayo.
Kylie's voice came from right beside him, and he looked over to see her padding soundlessly along, the way she moved among the undergrowth, not even making it rustle.
We ought to get Grandpa. We'll just... Just peek a little.
His heart was pounding so hard, he was surprised he couldn't hear it echo off the tree trunks.
If it's really other rats, I mean, maybe...
Maybe they'd come for him, he didn't say out loud. Maybe his mom and dad and grandpa and family, maybe they'd been looking for him all this time, and they'd finally tracked him down, had finally come to... A burst of laughter, not far ahead. Rat picked up the pace, trusting Kylie was still with him, even though he couldn't hear her, till he was picking his way through the drooping branches of a big marsh willow, the scents and sounds just on the other side. He could smell rotting wood, too, and realized they were coming up on one of the river's many sumpy little backwaters. He had crossed the damp earth under the willow, was slipping between the branches on the other side, when he heard a deep voice from ahead.
"Nice one, Trompy. Your turn, Skeets."
"Right,"
a female voice said, and Rat crept closer, three dark-furred figures showing vaguely through the willow's leaves, their vests colorful in the shade beside the greenish water.
"I wish..."
the voice began, a sort of wet snap under her words, and with another step, Rat could see two males and one female, all bigger than any mouse, their vests bright with dyed fur and feathers, a rough boat pulled up along the shore of the backwater. One of the males was licking his claws, both of them watching the female tear the hind leg off a young frog lying dead in the mud.
"I wish," she said, "that we'd find us some easy marks. That's what I wish."
And she stuffed the frog's leg into her mouth, chewing noisily while the other two laughed. He heard Kylie whimper, but Rat could only stare, his mind flashing on the frog towns in the lakes down south, with their neat floating buildings, the incredible music he'd heard them sing when the gypsy caravan had stopped at their festivals, this one frog kit named Gleevis, who'd told the best jokes and had tried to teach Rat how to jump.
"Kylie?"
he whispered as softly as he could. Her paw touched his shoulder, though, so he knew she could hear him.
"Go get Grandpa. You can move faster and quieter than me, and you'll be able to find him quicker, too. I'll..."
he swallowed.
"I'll try to make sure they don't leave."
A pat from her paw, and it pulled away. Not a sound behind him, but he knew he was alone. Alone with the three rats, lounging and laughing and eating some poor dead kid.
"And you, Buck?"
the female rat was saying, little flecks that Rat didn't want to think about spraying from her mouth. She kicked the frog carcass over to the biggest of the two male rats.
"What do you want from this whole trip to the uncharted north?"
The big rat tapped a claw against his chin, his eyes fixed on the trees across the stagnant water. Then he slashed the claw down to slit the frog's belly open.
"Me?" came the deep voice Rat had first heard. "I wish we had us another frog."
He scooped something out of the frog's body, and Rat looked away, clamped his paws around his snout, forced himself not to throw up or start screaming or do anything but sit and pray to Shadowbane and Night's Eye and Earthmover and all the High Ones that Grandpa would get here soon. But time went on, Rat watching the ground and straining his ears for any sound other than the chomping from outside the willow. Finally, though, he heard the big rat say,
"Well, let's get on, then. Find a nice spot to camp this afternoon away up in the woods, then check out that mouse and otter town tonight."
Rat ventured a look, saw the big rat whack the female on the shoulder.
"Might just get your wish there, Skeets. No easier mark in the world than a mouse."
He stood, a full head and shoulders taller than Kylie's dad, stretched and nodded to the boat.
"Chompy, think this backwater will take us any further north?"
The other male nodded.
"Water's bad, but not so bad as it'll be up in the Stone End."
He smacked his lips.
"Nice mosquito larvae, too, up a wash like this."
They'd all risen by then, Trompy putting a paw on the rough gunwale of the boat, and Rat, not letting himself think about it, scrambled up and slid out of his hiding place into the mud.
"That might not be the best idea,"
he said, his voice no more than a squeak. The rats all snapped around to face him, knives suddenly in their paws. Rat held his up to show they were empty. He had to keep the rats here somehow.
"It's just that town. It's not as easy to get in or out of as it looks."
For a long moment they didn't move. Then the female, Skeets, the big one had called her, gave a coughing sort of laugh.
"A fine lot we are. Some damn kit sneaking up on us."
She snapped her knife back into a sheath Rat could now see strapped to her side under her vest.
"Your tribe claim this area, Kit? We gotta check in with your alder?"
Rat thought quicker than he'd ever thought before, took some pieces of Grandpa's adventure stories, and came up with,
"No, I'm kind of a prisoner here."
He waved a claw in the general direction of Otter's Gate.
"My folks were raiders, too, but they all got killed trying to get into the town. I pulled this whole poor little me routine, and some mouse family adopted me."
He shrugged, tried to make himself look like he imagined the big rat must have when he was a kid.
"Like you said, easy marks."
Trompy laughed, and even Bok smiled a little, the big muscles under his fur relaxing.
"Well, well."
Skeets squatted down so her eyes were at Rat's level.
A regular Strolton the Conqueror we got here, gents.
That got an even bigger laugh out of Trompy, but Bok glared at him and he stomped.
You know this town, then,
Bok said, and Rat could almost smell the thoughts popping in the big rat's brain like marsh gas from the stagnant water. Nodding, Rat tried not to swallow.
Where was Grandpa?
I know a lot of things.
He put the same sort of sneer in his voice that he heard in Bok's.
Like I know, I don't want to spend my whole life rotting away in the middle of this nowhere with nothing but a bunch of mice.
Bok tapped a claw against his snout.
You help us, we help you.
He held the claw out.
Deal?
The claw still had frog guts on it, but Rat couldn't see any other way out. If the rats left here, he had to go with them, had to keep track of them till Grandpa could find him, and no way was he going to risk these murderers getting away. So, forcing a grin, he said,
Deal!
Stepped forward, reached out to take the claw, but a flash above him made him leap sideways, Officer Hawk slashing down through the sky right over Rat's ear and into Bok's face. Two falcons in Air Force uniforms slammed into the other rats, a kestrel and an old eagle swooping to land at the water's edge.
Nobody move!
The eagle screeched, his blue vest decorated with more yellow stripes than the other birds.
You're all under arrest! Retire!
Grandpa's voice, and Rat spun at the sound, paws catching him, Grandpa's wonderful scent in his whiskers.
Thank the gods!
Rat buried his face in Grandpa's fur, the rats screaming behind him.
You little bastard, you set us up! When I get loose, I'm gonna...
Several thumps, and the rat voices groaned into silence, the eagle saying,
You'll not be getting loose, you vermin, if there's any justice in the world. You'll get your day before Judge Owl, and when you're found guilty, me and my lads will be snapping you up like you snapped up that poor frog.
Looking back, Rat saw Officer Hawk and the two falcons standing on the rats, down on their bellies in the mud, their eyes closed, but their sides still moving with their gasps. Officer Hawk's black eyes staring right at Rat.
Don't forget that one, Chief.
The eagle made a clicking noise with his beak.
Mind your prisoner, officer, and let me handle young Mr. Nibbler.
That's no nibbler.
Officer Hawk flailed a wing.
That's a rat. We all heard him. He wanted to go with them.
Officer,
Grandpa said, his voice so hard Rat couldn't stop his ears from folding.
Retire is most certainly a nibbler, and Nibbler Clan will protect his interests to the fullest extent allowed by the charter.
The eagle hopped closer.
Well, of course, Raymond.
He bent down, his big hooked beak making Rat cling harder to Grandpa, but his next words came out soft and gentle.
But could you tell me, Ratayo, why you said what you did to those rats?
Rat swallowed, felt Grandpa's paw stroke his ears.
It's all right, Ratayo, the old mouse said. Just tell Chief Inspector Eagle the truth.
His arms around Grandpa, Rat nodded and looked up.
It was a trick.
He got out around the lump in his throat.
They were going to leave, and I had to keep them here. They were so big, all I could do was talk to them, try to get them to stay or take me with them so Grandpa could find them by finding me.
The lump got bigger.
I had to stop them, sir.
A retching noise, and Rat saw Officer Hawk cough something into the water.
Sorry, sir,
he said, his voice not sorry at all.
Stinking lies always make me gag up a pellet.
The eagle snapped his head around.
One more word, officer, and you're on report.
He looked back, that strange gentleness in his voice again.
You know, my great-granddad used to talk about rat patrols coming through here to clear out the river pirates. Takes a rat to catch a rat, he'd always say. Of course, that was 100 years ago.
Clearing his throat, he turned and waved a wing at Officer Hawk.
Now, get the prisoners back to HQ, and on the way... You might want to consider how much damage these rats could have done if our two young nibblers hadn't spotted them.
Officer Hawk saluted and leaped into the air. Bok gripped tightly in one claw, the two falcons following with the other rats. But Rat pressed his face into Grandpa's fur again, didn't want to see the rats anymore, didn't want to see them ever again, wished he'd never seen them, never smelled them, never been born the same species as them.
Thanks, Bert.
Grandpa was saying above him.
I told Lanny Bonswallow to go straight to you with the news. I suppose we'll need to start patrol groups again.
Seems likely,
came the eagle's voice.
And my first job on the force was patrolling these woods for vermin. Guess I'll go into retirement the same way. I'll send Kestrel here to the next council meeting, see about setting up for volunteers.
A blast of air, a rattle of wings, and everything was quiet.
Wow.
Kylie's scent drifted over Rat.
That was scary.
It was.
Grandpa's paw stroked Rat's chin, made him look up, the old mouse smiling.
But you both did wonderfully. In fact...
His head turned, and Rat followed his gaze to where Kylie stood.
Kylie, how did you find me so quickly earlier?
Kylie shrugged.
I just opened up my whiskers, the way you say to, and sorted through everything till I found your trail.
Grandpa nodded.
And when you didn't want those rats to hear you, how did you do that?
Well, I just did the opposite. Pulled my whiskers in and let everything wrap around me.
She touched her snout.
I mean, I didn't really pull them in. I just...
She stopped and gave another shrug. Rat had to grin. Kylie? At a loss for words?
You know, I thought as much.
Grandpa was grinning, too, and he held out the paw that wasn't hugging Rat. Kylie patted over, and he embraced her.
Kylie, my dear, I'm proud to inform you that you've inherited our family's tracker's whiskers.
What?
Eyes wide, she moved a paw to her snout again. Grandpa laughed.
Oh, it's not those whiskers so much, sweetheart. It's more, well... More a way of experiencing the world, understanding it the way it really is.
A claw tapped Rat between the ears.
Don't you worry, retire. I can teach you the basics, but as of today, well, now we move on to phase two of your training.
One last little squeeze, and Grandpa stepped away.
Oh, tomorrow, actually. We've had more than enough excitement today.
He beckoned and turned, Kylie scurrying noiselessly after him. Rat nodded, took his first deep breath in what felt like an hour, and cringed at the rat stink still in the air. A couple steps brought him into Grandpa and Kylie's scent trail, though. He spread his whiskers gladly into it and hurried as fast as he could to catch up with them.
Blast! The masked mouse leaped back, but it was too late. The trapdoor sprang open beneath him. His legs, stiff with the poison still coursing through his veins, chose that moment to seize up, and only a frantic grab for the lip of the pit saved the masked mouse from tumbling into the red and black flames below. Boiling pitch, it smelled like. Screeching laughter echoed from the hall now above him.
Do watch your step, masked mouse! I would hate to lose you now, my old foe, not when I'm so close to my final victory. You fools took our children in, raised them in your homes and your schools, thought to make them your own. But now you shall see Otter's Gate destroyed in flames as we rats claim our final victory over you puny mice!
Slowly, carefully, keeping his claws dug in, the masked mouse rolled his body to the left till the edge of his cape stroked the side of the pit. With a touch of his elbow, he triggered his dart gun. A thunk, and his cape was anchored to the wall. Rolling to the right, then, he repeated this procedure with his right-hand dart gun, and drawing his legs up, he leaned back, letting the cape support him so he could reach down and take the grappling hook from his utility belt.
"Not if I can help it, vermin," he growled.
From The Masked Mouse vs. the Rat by Leland Spuckler, serialized in the Otter's Gate Daily Fluxion during the summer of 1719.
Corin?
Rat took the little bag out of his lunch sack. Paul laughed till Corin's glare made him stop, and Kylie rolled her eyes behind her new glasses.
It's been 3 years, Retio,
she said with a sigh.
So?
He poked the bag, and it started to squirm.
Corin promised to eat a beetle grub if I got adopted, but she didn't eat the one I brought to the school's recognition party the next day, so I waited a year.
Rat stood, glad for once that he was a head taller than anyone else at school, and looked over the lunchyard.
Did anyone who was here that day see Corin Spinner eat the grub I brought?
Some eyes darted up from their sandwiches, but nobody said anything. So Rat went on.
No, gentlefolk of the jury, she did not. And 1 year later, when I came to this lunch court bearing another beetle grub, guess what happened?
Cam raised one paw from the other side of the table.
I cannot tell a lie. Corin didn't eat it.
The sad truth.
Rat hooked his thumbs into his gray school vest, Corin not looking at him as she chewed her fish.
And now, as we begin our fourth grade year on this first day of spring in the year 1720 after the compact, I again humbly approach you, Corin Spinner.
He gestured to the bag.
With grubby in paw, I ask you, but I did!
Corin slapped the table, the dozen purple bows in the fur around her ears bouncing furiously.
I ate the horrid thing the day after you got adopted!
She waved at Paul.
I mean, I had Paul do it, but it's the same thing.
Paul nodded.
It wasn't bad, actually. Crunchy on the outside, chewy on the inside, like old licorice.
Titters from the other mice in the yard, and Corin's ears fell further.
Paul, don't be nauseous.
She stood and glared around the tables.
And I don't think I need to remind anyone here whose clan donated the ice cream for the recognition party after school today.
Silence, all the mice suddenly and completely involved in their lunches. Corin looked up at Rat, her tight little smile making his whiskers twitch.
Anything else, Ratayo?
Rat held her gaze, found the little sack with his paws, pushed it along the table toward her. Her smile vanished.
I don't know why I even let you be friends with me!
She grabbed her tray and stomped off toward the cafeteria. Paul shrugged, stood, followed, almost ran into her when she turned in the doorway.
And no ice cream for you at the party, you rat! You hear me?
With a flick of her tail, she stepped into the cafeteria and was gone. The whole lunch yard started buzzing, mice at the other tables sneaking glances at him. Rat ignored them and picked up the bag.
Your lucky day, fella.
He dumped the grub onto the grass, but had to turn at Kylie's sigh.
Hey, if Corn had just eat it, I wouldn't have to do this every year. Have to, not have to.
She gave him a look over the top of her glasses.
And you don't have to. You choose to.
He sat and grabbed his sandwich.
I have to prove that not even Corin Spinner can avoid justice forever.
Cam laughed, set down his bottle of fruit punch.
Oh, I see. So you're really the Masked Mouse.
Shh!
Rat hunched his shoulders like the Masked Mouse always did in the stories.
My true identity must remain secret so I can strike fear into the hearts of evildoers.
He held up a claw.
And the Masked Mouse shall not sully his paws with Corin Spinner's ill-gotten ice cream.
At the next table, Sheen Sawyer closed his lunch pail with a click.
I heard there's chocolate, though.
As hard as he tried, Rat couldn't keep his whiskers from drooping. But just then, Mr. Adler started ringing the fourth period bell, all the mice standing and heading through the cafeteria to the classrooms. Rat crumpled his sacks, dropped them into one of the trash bins, joined the flow of mice, and tried not to think about how long it had been since he'd felt the sweet silk of chocolate ice cream over his tongue. The first day of school was always short, so folks could get ready for the party, but Rat still struggled to stay awake through history, math, and comparative cultures. Then the bell was ringing, jolting him to his paws with a whoop. Ms. Hapner glared at him.
A comment, Mr. Nibbler?
Rat bowed.
Just that I hope to see you at the party this evening, Ms. Hapner.
The old mouse sniffed, turned to start erasing the chalkboard.
Tomorrow we'll begin reviewing your winter reading, the Southern Bear Republics and the Buffalo Kingdom.
Rat's groan wasn't the only one, but it was the loudest. Ms. Hapner looked over her shoulder.
Is that you volunteering to lead tomorrow's discussion, Mr. Nibbler?
He began.
You might as well, Ratayo.
Corin piped up, that little smile on her face.
It's not like you've got any reason to go to the party.
She put her books into her backpack, stood, and gave the pack to Paul.
No ice cream for you, remember?
Her smugness made his hackles rise.
Yeah, well, the way you spinners lie, there's probably no cream in it anyway.
Corin's eyes went wide.
You take that back! Oh, you're right,
he gestured to her.
You've gotten so fat lately, it must be real ice cream.
Her face clenched.
You rat! My daddy says Raymond Nibbler's made Otterskate the laughingstock of the whole river by taking you in!
Rat couldn't keep his lips from pulling back.
Don't you talk about my grandpa, you... Folks are afraid more rats will come here, and then the whole place will turn into a sewer.
She crooked a claw at him.
Ms. Hambaka's seen you sneaking around town at night, and everybody knows you've been breaking all the streetlights. I have not.
Though he had, actually, around the Bailey Oak up on the common. The glowing glass globes made such great targets.
You have so!
Corin folded her arms.
You're stupid and stinky, and nobody likes you and children!
Ms. Hapner slapped a ruler against her desk.
The school day is over, so take your squabbles outside, and don't forget to review your reading.
Corin gave a sniff and marched from the room, Paul following. Rat grabbed his pack, shouldered the other mice aside to get to the door.
You think anyone likes you, Corin?
He yelled at her back.
They're all just afraid of your dad.
Her step faltered, but she kept going, her nose in the air. Rat pushed outside into the courtyard between the school buildings.
If you didn't give him ice cream, no one would even talk to you!
He started after her, but Kylie's all-too-familiar sigh stopped him, made him whirl on her.
What?
Sunlight flashed from her glasses.
Look behind me.
Behind her, he saw the other mice slipping from the classroom, their eyes wide, fear in their sense.
Every time you yell at Corin,
Kylie went on,
5 more stories get made up about how wild you are.
He snorted.
So? You heard what she said about Grandpa?
The last few mice scurried around the corner, Kylie's voice quiet.
Folks say a lot of things, but I've never heard Grandpa yell at anyone because of it.
Yeah, well...
He didn't want to look at her, didn't want to look at anything.
Grandpa's a mouse, isn't he?
She sighed that sigh again.
Let's just go get ready.
Why should I?
He wanted to throw something, something heavy, something that'd make a good, loud noise.
I mean, it's not like any of them, like they even...
Words tumbling in his brain like water over river stones, he turned away, found his eyes settling on the rocks in the flower bed in the middle of the courtyard. A quick step, and he grabbed one, wheeled around, cocked his arm, aimed for the classroom windows, and claws dug at him, twisted his arm back, Kylie's scent suddenly behind him. The pain loosened his grip, the rock thudding to the ground.
What are you gonna do?
She asked, her whisper hard in his ear.
Prove them right?
What are you gonna do?
He got out through clenched teeth.
Tie me up and drag me to the party?
Silence. Then,
no,
she said, and his arm came free. He brought it around, rubbed it, turned to see her blinking up at him.
You can do whatever you want.
She pushed the rock toward him with a toe, a swallow bulging her throat, and without another word, she walked past him, her ears down.
Yeah?
Rat spun, flicked his claws at her.
I will, then!
A kick sent the stone clattering back into the flower bed. He turned and stomped off in the opposite direction. Every classroom was already dark, students and teachers getting ready for another stupid mouse party, a bunch of folks who didn't like him, either pretending they did or ignoring him. He'd almost expected things to get better after he'd caught those rats the summer before last, but Judge Owl had ruled that the frog remains were more than enough to convict them of wilding. He'd sentenced them to death and given them to the Air Force to eat without even asking Rat to testify, which would have been just fine, except for the whispers he kept hearing that said he'd been helping the rats or trying to escape with them or some such, no matter how many times he said it wasn't true. And now that he was as big as most of the grown-ups in town, the looks he got all the time were even worse than what he remembered from the gypsy caravan, especially after he broke Sheen Sawyer's paw last autumn just playing at recess. That was when Grandpa had changed the tracking lessons again. Phase 3, he called it, focusing on moving carefully and always being aware. Sure, Rat still knocked things over. Aunt Asta had actually hit him with her cane when he broke her old teapot, but at least he hadn't hurt anyone recently. His elbow twinged, and he had to smile, as long as he could count on Kylie to kick his tail when he needed it. But then she'd gotten positively scary out in the woods, stepping into the shadows and vanishing, poof, even her scent gone. Rubbing his elbow, he shook his head. He'd apologize to her, of course, like always. But tomorrow... He reached the playground, lights on in the cafeteria, a lone figure straining to move one of the big tables inside. Zarat hurried across the grass to the door.
Hey, Mr. Adler?
The janitor turned, his red cap bright against the watery brown of his fur.
A tad early for the party, Master Retio.
His eyebrows arched.
And still in your school, Grays?
Rat made as much of a smile as he could.
He
cleared his throat and stepped inside.
You need any help setting up or anything? I don't know, I just thought,
well now.
Mr. Adler wiped sweat from his whiskers.
A fine thought it is, young sir.
He gestured to the other end of the table.
And one I much appreciate.
Taking off his pack, Rat grabbed the table, lifted with Mr. Adler, and they maneuvered it to the wall. The mouse dropped his end with a rush of breath, Rat setting his down more carefully and pushing it into the corner.
Two more. Mr. Adler said, then you can get home and get gussied.
Rat started for the next table.
This is as close as I want to get to the party tonight.
What?
Mr. Adler crossed the room more slowly.
Free ice cream, Master Retio. No Adler worth the name had passed that up.
He smiled.
My 5 youngest got recognized last night, so this will be their first time wearing the red hat. Ah, but I suppose...
A nod, and Rat hefted the table with him.
As one of the six, you get ice cream parties every week.
The six?
Rat shuffled to avoid a couple chairs.
Aye!
Mr. Adler's end crashed down, and Rat dragged the table beside the first one.
Even adopted, young sir, you are a nibbler, and it's spinners and nibblers, couriers and hoffners, cotters and chowders that run this town, isn't it?
Rat blinked.
Don't Mayor Godolkin and the council?
Mr. Adler waved a paw and moved toward the last table.
Oh, there's only been a council since them otters came with their elections. That's been barely 100 years. My grandgaffer helped build the first mayor's house, stood right there the day them otters named us Ottersgate.
He grinned over his shoulder.
But mouse clans have lived on this island longer than even the owls can remember. And all that time, it's been spinners to have the ideas, nibblers to turn them into plans, and Adlers to put them into action.
He tapped a claw against the tabletop.
One more, Master Retile.
Oh, right.
Rat stirred himself, went over, took his end of the table.
But so, can't an Adler ever have an idea?
Oh, aye.
Mr. Adler puffed out his cheeks, sweat again running down his whiskers, and heaved the table up.
But we leave the big thinkin' to those as enjoy it.
He let his end of the table down with a whoosh, and Rat pushed it into place.
Your gaffer, Mr. Raymond, he's a proper nibbler now, but Ms. Asta and her whole side of the clan might as well be spinners, the airs they put on.
He wiped his whiskers.
Might I prevail upon you a bit more, Master Retile?
Sure.
Rat shrugged.
I got nothing else to do.
Mr. Adler grinned and started across the room toward the kitchen.
Just in here, sir.
Darkling Eclectica Presents has brought you part 4 of Rat's Reputation by Michael H. Payne. Narration and music were by Michael Payne. Darkling Eclectica Presents is a production of KUCI in Irvine.
And on that note, come to the end of part 4 of Rat's Reputation.